The message today is Behold the Triumphant Cross. And this has reference to how Jesus perceived his cross long before he ever approached it. And he saw the victory that was to be gained by him going to the cross. I declare that there's a triumph that you have in your cross, that as you perceive the blessing of God that is to come upon you, yours, and your household, you experience great triumph and great glory and great presence of God coming into your life today. Because God is about building up his house right now and preparing his people for his glorious visitation. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 19, verses 29 to 38. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a coat tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you loosening it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosening the coat, the owners of it said to them, Why are you loosening the coat? And they said, The Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the coat, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Unforgettably, Palm Sunday introduced to the world Holy Week, the week of Jesus' passion, in which outside of being worshipped and lauded as Messiah and King, he was accused, tried, convicted, brutalized. He was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. All within the last week of his earthly journey. But it was what was awaiting Jesus at the end of the week of horrors that he could also see. And that was the restoration of the glory that was his before the foundation of the world. Amen? So as Jesus looked down the road of what would come to be commemorated as Holy Week, he looked past the shame. He looked past the disgrace and the dishonor and the contempt. He looked past the humiliation and the indignity, the brutal and the abandonment that he would suffer. He looked further than the brutality, further than the pain, further than the suffering and the death. The Lord could see what for you and me would have been unimaginable glory and unspeakable joy awaiting him. Amen? And Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Saints, it is not that Jesus was attempting to ignore the virtually indescribable horror and the grief that he would face. For Luke 9:51 says, Now came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus didn't allow his vision to be only of what it would cost him to do the Father's will and die for the redemption of all mankind. I say to you today, don't let your vision be only of what it costs you to sacrifice, to serve him, to be faithful to him, to be a faithful son and daughter of God. There are those who in times are not, that they have often looked past the pain and to the honor and the glory and the fulfillment that God had for them. And like one man, we all have days where, in spite of the pain, we have to render the sacrifice that a fuller complement the presence of God might, that the fuller complement of the blessings of God might bless others. And so I say to you today, when you got to go, you got to go. And oftentimes we have to press through the difficulties, press through the demands upon us, press through the difficulties and the uncomfortableness of the life sometimes, that we might be faithful to him and go where he tells us to go when we don't feel like going. We've got more saints saying, please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. But the Lord said, but I called you. About 10 o'clock, one cold February morning, a man was in bed, sound asleep. His mother came into his room. Son, it's time to get up. You got to get ready for church, she implored him. I'm too tired. Leave me alone, he said. Son, you got to get up and get ready for church. I'm not going to church today. Give me one good reason why I have to go to church, he protested. I'll give you two good reasons, she said. One is Sunday, and two, you're the pastor. So I said, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be in our service to the King. Amen. And in our faithfulness to him. Amen. When he calls us, we get up and go. Amen. And obey him. And we do it in spite of the pain that costs us to serve his purpose. Like Jesus, looking further than the grief to the God who assigned you, I want you to know that he backs you up. Jesus' heart was full of joy. It pleased him to please the Father and to fulfill the Father's purpose and to present to him the multitudes of redeemed souls that Revelation 7:9 says that no man could number. Amen. As you can imagine, all the redeemed ones that are coming to him because he pressed through. You know, he didn't have to. He didn't have to come, but he did. Amen. He didn't have to go to the cross, but he did. Why? Because he loved the Father and he was going to be obedient to the Father. God is not asking you and me to go to that cross, but he is asking us to bear the cross that he caused us to bear. Amen. He said, let every one of us take up our cross daily, amen, and be faithful to him, amen. It's not here, we're not here to be comfortable altogether in this life. This is not the life that we are to inherit forever. You know, we are just passing through this world. We're citizens of the kingdom of heaven, amen, amen. And we're on a journey through. However, there's a complement of God's presence that is more than enough and that awaits God's people today. Amen. God wants to visit his people. And I praise God for how he visits with us. You know, and he takes the privilege. He wanted to say, Joseph, can I interrupt your life? He wanted to say, Shiloh, can I interrupt your life? You know, and we said, Papa, anytime you want to come, you know, this is your house and we are your people. You know, it is you. Whatever you want to do. Amen. Hallelujah. And we praise God that he is welcome. So God designs a fuller measure of his presence for his people as they pray and prepare for a visitation of his glory. And I want to say to you that a time of his presence is upon us. A time of his coming glory is approaching us. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of expectation. It's a time of look past what we're seeing every day in the news. looking past all the threats we hear from ISIS, is looking past all the arranged confusion all over the television screen over the candidates. There's all kinds of things that are designed to distress us. And we want to know, is the country going to implode? Is the world going to implode around about us? But we want to keep our eyes set on Him and look past all the trouble. Look past some of the aches and the pains that we oftentimes have, the grief that comes in us, and the conflicts that arise up that we have to oftentimes resolve and deal with. It's all worth it to serve the King. It's all worth it to be faithful to Him. Amen? And we're going to press on. We're going to press through. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Amen? We're going to be that army of God that press through. All of this life says that we will use to bring you down. And we will say there's nothing in this life that is greater than the God that we serve. Amen? Hallelujah. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. There's nobody can take us out of this world unless the Father said, the time is, son, come home. Time is, daughter, come home. No amount of threats, no amount of anything. We can be overrun, but God might have you standing and be wondering, why aren't the bullets hitting you? You know, that's what they said about George Washington during the time of one of the battles. And they said when they found his coat was all full of bullet holes, and the Indians used to wonder why they couldn't kill him. Why they couldn't kill him. And that's because God was with him. God was protecting him. Hallelujah. I'm just so blessed today that God is with us and God is for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I just tell you, saints, I am so full of joy today. Something big is up. Our God is coming. Hallelujah. 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 Don't distress. Because I said He's coming. Yeah. Don't say, well, I got this big plan. Well, I think His plan is bigger. Yeah. Amen. His plan is eternity, is heaven. Hallelujah. I tell you. One day I will tell you. Oh, God, I tell you, it looked like His voice is getting clearer and clearer. I mean, it's not that it's been a strain to hear Him, but it's just like He's right there, you know, right there. Amen. Amen. This is a new day. You need to be ready for glory. Yeah. You need to be fired up and speaking to the trees, you know. If you can't find somebody to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, speak to the trees. Speak to the kids' toys if they're at school. Command it to rise up and walk. Oh, you have books opening by themselves. Oh, but there's a gathering of the multitudes that's about to be added to that innumerable number that John saw. Amen. Amen. They will be coming out of every household, every family, every church, every community, every state, every nation of the world, gathering unto Him. And it's amazing, in a flash of a twinkling of an eye, what is it, one third of a second, I don't know, 100 1/3, I don't know. But it's quicker than you can think. Some of you are going to say, like last evening, we were trying to remember who was the author of this particular thing we saw on TV. We were sitting up trying to think. At one time, we used to think that. We could remember that. And I'm not the only one here who has that problem. But this is one reason God wants to saturate our lives and saturate His church, His churches, and our city with His presence. That a wondrous presence of His Spirit resting heavily upon us would draw the lost. And it would revive His church. Amen. God wants to gather as many as He can gather. Amen. And I just say it behooves you and me to be speaking to anybody we can speak to, every opportunity to share the gospel with them. He wants to gather in his harvest, and he wants to usher in the second coming of Christ. God is beginning to rev things up in the spirit. I tell you, things are so exciting in the spirit realm, you would think we're about to go next minute. You thought I was going to say next week, but that's the next minute. But amen. And don't be worried about, well, I didn't get to do this or get to do that. Well, you want to stay behind and take care of that?
Thank you.
Yeah, I hear you now. I finally got your attention on that subject. But God is beginning to rev things up in the body of Jesus Christ. There's coming a new joy, amen, upon you. Coming a new praise, amen. And we need to be praising him. We need to be worshiping him. You know, I just had this unusual experience a few days ago. I was seeking God about something, just praying, you know. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. And I said, Lord, what's wrong? You know, Lord, and I said, Lord, what's up? You know. And I was just trying to think. All of a sudden, it's like the Spirit just kind of, I didn't hear him. It's just like he just let me know, you need to worship. I immediately went into worship. I went up there to praise him, singing songs. I make up songs, you know. And I pray in the Spirit in the song, amen. Worshiping the Lord, amen. The atmosphere returned and the word of the Lord came to me about something I needed. And I just want to tell you, now is the time to enter a worship like we've never worshiped before. You know, worshiping is not you just coming and sitting on your seat while everybody else is praising God. Worship is you, but you yourself worshiping and praising him. Because you need to hear him. You need to be aware of him. You need to be growing. Amen. You need to be able to see past your troubles and see the glory of the Lord for you. Amen. Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. A new praise. A new power is coming upon the people of God. Amen. God wants you to be bold and courageous, a new boldness, a new freedom in the spirit. Amen. I always said we are not going to be some ragtag crew hanging on saying, Jesus, if you hadn't come, I wouldn't have made it. I'm just barely hanging. No. Amen. The Lord is coming for us, a renewed thirst, a new commitment to know him and to serve him, a new passion for Christ. Amen. And having a fresh desire to please him and present souls to him and possess a richness of his presence as well as a new resolve to do it his way. Amen? Do it his way. No matter what it takes or the sacrifice it requires. Amen? Hallelujah. I remember telling you the story about a 2,000-member Baptist church. They were overflowing in capacity one Sunday morning. The preacher was ready to start the sermon when two men walked in. And one of the two men walked to the back and went to the middle of the church while the other stayed at the front. And they both then, you know, threw off their coats and brought out their weapons. The one in the middle announced, "Everyone willing to take a bullet for Jesus, stay in your seats." Naturally, the pews emptied, followed by the choir. The deacons ran out the door, followed by the choir director and assistant pastor. And after a few moments, there was about 20 people left sitting in the church. The preacher was holding steady in the pulpit, maybe shaky. Then the two men put their weapons away and said gently to the preacher, "All right, pastor, the hypocrites are gone now. You may begin to preach." So I say, don't let God's action drive you away. Crucify the hypocrite. Crucify the hypocrite that drives your car. Crucify the hypocrite that cheats on your golf score. That eats a half a pound of grapes at the market before you buy a pound. I I just said pray and praise him. Hook up to his living presence and celebrate his kingly rule in your life as you press through the sacrifice it will take to be faithful to his purpose. Amen. Saints, let's stop seeking our purpose. Let's stop making up our own rules and our own game. Let's stop creating our own theology about stuff. That's why we ought to be reading the scriptures daily. Daily. Maybe twice and three times daily. Amen. There's something beautiful about the word. I mean, I find myself, I get the greatest cleansing and washing in the spirit, but when I just read the word. Amen. You know, and I tell you, there's really life in the word. Amen. As we've heard. So celebrate this kingly rule in your life as you press through. All it takes to be faithful and true and growing and ready and building yourself up in the most holy faith. It will take do all it takes to be faithful to his purpose in you and his purpose in this church and in the community outside these doors. Palm Sunday is about the presence of God in our midst. It's about his presence among us in our lives and in our congregation and in our city. It is about Jesus coming, fulfilling scripture, carrying out promises, conquering in his enemies, taking over and bringing healing to the nations. It's about him setting captives free and ruling as people's long-awaited king and Messiah and as your long-awaited king and Messiah. Palm Sunday is about triumph, saints. It's about joy. It's about celebration. As Jesus presents himself as King of the Jews and in reality King of over all, this prophetically robust presentation of Jesus, like on Palm Sunday, to the Roman community fulfilled the Holy Scriptures of Zechariah 9:9. It stirred the desire and hope of those who longed for peace, change, and God's glory to return upon them. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need God to revisit you again, you know, sometimes he said, do your first works over. Love him more than you love anything or anyone else. And it's something that just shocks people when I say that. They start thinking about, how is that possible? How can I love Jesus more than I love my wife? How can I love Jesus more than my boyfriend? Well, it's a different kind of love, as I said. Akapao, agape, whichever one you like. But when he came, he stirred the desire and the hope of those who long for peace, who long for change, and for God's glory to return upon their lives and their community. It also stirred the fear and the anger of those who longed for things God was through with. Amen? There are some people who are longing for and desiring the things that God is through with, that God is no longer using or with, you know, the old things, the dead things, the rejected ways of the past. God's through with that stuff. You need to be through with it too. Amen. Plus this presentation of Jesus as he came is designed to openly and boldly tout himself as he boldly touted himself as king was the beginning and the end of his life and ministry on earth. And it brought the cheers of the people as they celebrated him. So, I mean, Jesus just let all hang out. Amen. He was having a party that day. Amen. The glory of God was on the community. People knew something was happening and they thought it was all about them. Amen. You know, he wanted the king, their own kind of king. But I tell you, he is not here, you know, amen, to just rule temporarily, you know. He wants to rule your heart and my heart. He wants to rule your home and your home and my home. Amen. And our nation as well. It is said that someone asked Joseph of Arimathea, that was a great tomb, they said, why did you give it to someone else to bury to be buried in? Oh, said Joseph, he only needed it for the weekend. He may have come to die, but he wasn't going to stay dead. Amen. Our Lord did arise from the dead. So besides triumph, achievement, joy, and celebration, Palm Sunday is also about challenge. The prophetic is disturbing to those who don't want it or understand it. What God intends by what he says is not always understood or embraced by those who hear it, even those of his house who are supposed to hear and understand. An open and bold display of who Jesus is doesn't fit everybody's personalities, and what he wants you to do doesn't always meet with their approval. Amen. Hallelujah. So when God comes, I always remember back at, and I was having this, Pastor Eric and I was talking about this one. We were talking about how when we had those moves of God at 200 North, and the Spirit of God would come, and no one could preach. I couldn't preach, and that was several weeks like that. And there was always somebody saying, "Well, we got to have the Word, you know. God, the Word is there. He's walking among us.
Right.
Amen." He's talking to us individually, you know, manifesting his glory, healing people, delivering people. We don't always want to hear the way he wants to say it and when he wants to say it. Hallelujah. So rather than positive hope and desire, you get negative fear and anger, which is intended by the enemy to put the manifestation of Jesus to death. That is your vision of him. The prophetic in your church, the call of God in your life. But because it is of Jesus, the dream lives and comes to pass. You can't kill the dream if you can't kill the dreamer. Amen? Amen. Keep on dreaming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But because it's of Jesus, the dream lives. Don't allow the things of this life, I'm trying to say it, to rob you of the more precious things God has in store for you. Mark those things for death. Those things that will rob you of any of what he's asking of you. Because he'll take what little you give him and he'll give you a kingdom of God. Amen. He calls you kings and priests. He calls us kings and priests because we are. You know. And I always tell you, you are royalty. Don't forget you are royalty. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
For he says over there in Revelation chapter 3, he who overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne.
Yes.
Look out.
Yes.
Sit with me in my throne just as I have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne.
Yes.
Are you getting any of this? Amen. Hallelujah. Might be willing to mark for death everything that opposes God's glory in you. And I tell you, you will see through those things that you thought you loved once. You will see through those things that were shackles and hinders and weights on you. You will see through those friends that don't mean you any good. Amen. And you will proceed and you will go on, you'll press through their jokes about you and their stories about you and the things they say about you because you are a believer. He said, "Yes, I am." He started doing that moonwalk. Yeah. Son of God. I heard Kate Arthur talking about the angel of death being instructed of God to go into the kingdom of Egypt and put to death every living thing that wasn't protected by the blood. The teaching point was that we, the people of God, need to go through everything in our lives. And if it's not marked with the blood of Jesus Christ, mark it for death. Mark it for death. If you can't stand up with the blood, mark it for death. So let's get it out of our lives, for he's coming. Amen. Let's get it out of our lives. Hey! For he's coming. Hallelujah. Oh! I don't know what to say. Lord, I'm restraining myself. Jesus. You know... Why? Because sometimes there are things he tells you that are not intended for anybody else. And sometimes we got this motor mouth. And sometimes we let out something too early, and the enemy hears it, you know, and you, because you're out of season, you'll be challenged. So let's get it out of our lives, for if it doesn't kill the dreamer, it will kill the dream. Amen. I think I ought to stop. Well, I'm going to cut it short then, okay? Slide over for you. I just want to share with you this little, I found this in some of my papers, and I'm not quite sure. I think it may have been Ethan Askew, who was, you know, my spiritual grandchild. He, you know, I was grandpa to the whole family. You remember the Askews? And so one day I got this. It's a cartoon of a cat all sprawled out. It says, "Dear Lord, so far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed." And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Well, praise God for His grace for all of us who are out of bed and we're ready to get rid of some things. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I always remember that old song. I even preached on it a couple of times way in the past. Straighten up and fly right. Amen. That's what we want to do. Saints, we don't have to do the bad. We are designed for the good and for the glory of God in our lives. Amen. Amen. I tell you the truth, and I know you're witnessing this in your heart and lives. He's drawing near. Drawing near. I wish I could tell you, but I can't tell you what he said this morning. He's drawing near. Hallelujah. I just want you to love him. And I want you to praise him and worship God in your private times. Pray in the spirit before you get out of the bed. Help clear your mind up. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And always know, whatever you have to sacrifice to press through to the glory of the cross, which is the triumphant victory that Jesus has won for you, that as you press through, you will apprehend. Amen? I'm talking about pressing through, amen, the difficulties, the struggles, the demand, the cost, whatever it is, that you might apprehend that for which you have been apprehended. For the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can you do that? Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Stand up, let's give him praise. Hallelujah.